Certainly good to be here this morning with you, and good to see everyone here, and I'm glad you're here. And for those of you that are visiting with us, we're especially glad you're here, and want you to feel welcome here. You're our guest, and we want you to please feel invited to come back every chance that you get, and we hope you give us a chance to get to know you a little bit this morning. As we turn our study to look at God's Word this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about a concept or a topic or title, whatever you want to call it, about false prophets and false doctrine. We have a tendency to think that false prophets and false doctrine is only something that happened centuries ago. And that's not true. And we'll see that from the Word of God this morning. There are such things as false prophets and false doctrine in our world today. There are those that will teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. We can't afford to be a part of that. We have to be able to look at the Word of God, preach the truth of the Word of God, speak where the Bible speaks, and be silent where the Bible is silent. We have to honor His Word and the way that He would want things done by looking into the truth and using that as the pattern for our lives. It's not always easy. It takes effort. It takes effort on our part to look in there and to dig and to see what the Bible says about certain things, but that's our responsibility. And the reason that it's our responsibility is because on the final day, that Word is what's going to judge us. John 12 and 48 says you have one that will judge you in that day, the Word. So let's look at the Word and let's understand the dangers of false prophets and false doctrine and see what we can find out about it. Beware is my first admonition to you this morning. Be on the lookout. Understand that there is falsehood out in the world today. Now, I don't think anybody here sitting here this morning would say, well, that's not true. Well, we see what's going on around in the world and the things that are happening, and we understand there's a lot of things happening in the world that are contrary to the Word of God. But we still need to beware. We need to be on the lookout. We need to understand that there is falsehood being taught in the world today. Now, we think of someone who would be a false prophet. Let's find out, first of all, what a prophet is. If you start looking at definitions and figuring out what the word prophet means according to the Scripture, a lot of times it can talk about one who foretells of future events or a predictor, but it also can talk about and point to one who teaches and delivers the Word of God. Those two do not have to be one and the same thing. Someone can prophesy and deliver the Word of God without having the ability to predict future events and have miraculous powers or anything like that. So let's not think that necessarily those things have to be tied together. A prophet, according to how the Scripture uses it, can be used to describe one who spreads God's Word. Now, we don't use that a lot. But you might say that I or anybody else who is up here preaching from the Word of God and telling those things, we might be prophesying. Now, we don't use that word, and there's a little bit of a reason because of that, and that's because a lot of times people have that first reaction to go, oh, you're saying they've got miraculous powers and divine inspiration. No, don't believe that. So that's probably why we stay away from saying that quite as much, and we'll use the word teacher or someone who will preach the Word of God. Jonah would be considered a prophet as he was sent to speak to Nineveh and warn them of the coming destruction that God had saw fit to put in motion for them. But we think about false prophets and we think about doctrine because they spread a doctrine. Jesus spread a doctrine. Jesus came to deliver us the doctrine of the Word of God, the truth that is found in it. Doctrine is instruction, it is teaching, it is the principles of God. But see, if a false prophet spreads falsehood, they are spreading a false doctrine. They're spreading a false set of principles, teaching, or instruction. So we've got that groundwork laid here. Let's look at something to set our minds at the beginning here. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 2 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Okay. At times long ago, the scripture is saying here, God spoke to man in various ways. One of those ways, in those diverse manners, is that he spoke to the fathers by the prophets of those times. He said, now though, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The Word of God delivered the message that Christ came to establish and put into power is the last message we're going to get. Now, we're going to expound on that, teach others about it. And when I say expound, I don't mean invent things, but I mean to declare, to explain, to talk about the principles and the precepts, to try to encourage others to live according to the Scriptures. And through his Son, he said, that Son, he's appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds. In these last days, that's how the message was brought. And from that day forward, from the time that Christ came into the earth, there were apostles who took his teaching and they went forth and they taught his doctrine. And many of those apostles had divine inspiration. They had miraculous powers. And they were getting that one-on-one line about what the Word needs to be. And they expounded and gave that doctrine of Jesus Christ, and they got things going and all of that. But since that time and since those men have gone on, the apostolic age is over, we don't have that anymore. We have this. We have the Scripture as was penned and given to us by those men and by Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to go by. And it's up to you and it's up to me to get in here and to find out what the truths are and to make sure that we are living by the truth. Speaking of the word truth, what does that mean? If we talk about something that's false, surely there's something that's true, right? We've got all these numerous warnings in the Scriptures about false prophets, about false doctrine, but how do we get to define something as false? How do we know if someone is delivering a false doctrine? How do we know if someone is true? What is truth? What does that mean? You know, if you're not careful, you might turn on the news today or get on your little electronic gadget and get on a little social media, and you might be told that there's varying truths. You might be told that, well, see, Tim and I, we don't agree on something. And so it's okay for him to have his truth, and then it's okay for me to have my truth. Because we could both have our truths. They're not exactly the same thing. They don't line up, but yet we still get along. Everybody's happy. Nobody offends anybody else, and Tim and I are still walking the same path. Now, how can we be walking the same path if we are following two different things? You see, there's no your truth and there's no my truth. There's God's truth and there's falsehood. And it's just that simple. And people find that offensive today. People find that to where it bothers them. And the main reason for that is, if that is real, if that's really the way it is, then that means they're wrong in living the way they want to live and not living the way God wants to live. And nobody wants to hear that. Here's what truth is. Truth is the representation of how things are. Truth is in exact accordance with how things are, how they have been, and how they will be. And not wanting to get too much into the realm of the news and everything like that. But you can call that an elephant all you want. It's not an elephant. And some people says, I call it an elephant and that's my truth. Folks, I want to tell you something. You better figure out what the truth is according to the Word of God. Our eternity rests on that and depends on that. Psalm 119 and verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Thy word is true. God's word is true. Always has been, always will be. John 17 and verse 17, Jesus speaking here in his prayers, speaking to his Father, says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctify, that word means to set apart, cleanse, purify. And that was going to be done through the truth. What was the truth? What is the truth? And what will be the truth? It is the Word of God. And that's not going to change. And man may try to change that principle, but he's not going to be successful and he'll always be wrong. And on the day of judgment, that will all be proven. We can consider something to be false when it does not conform or agree with truth. That's what false is. I mean, it's like the test you had in school. You got a 50% chance it's true or false. Pick one or the other. But if you pick the wrong one, it's just 100% wrong. That's all. There's true and there's false. False prophets are those that deliver messages that do not conform to the truth of God's word. And false doctrine is that which is in conflict with the word of God. So what about false prophets today? Was that something that was just of times of old? Or do we have to deal with that today? We have warnings throughout the New Testament concerning false prophets. Concerning those who will deliver messages that are not in accordance with God's Word. Before we go further, I want to say this. I believe that sometimes people will preach something and they don't have the intention of hurting, harming, or leading astray. I think that's possible. I think that sometimes people will teach something and it's not true. They may believe it is, and they may be sincere in what they're trying to accomplish and benefit, but they're doing that maybe, might we say, out of an ignorance or a lack of complete knowledge. And I give you the example of Apollos. Acts 18, I believe. He was teaching. He was going out trying to convince people of a certain thing and giving them a plan to have their lives changed. But he had not been taught the full way yet. So Priscilla and Aquila take him unto themselves. They expound on him the word of truth. And you know what he did? He took that and then he went forth. And he went to try to teach people about that full word of truth, that complete word of truth. So I don't think he was malicious. And I think there are people today who might be teaching something that's not exactly according to the word of God, but they don't have malice in their hearts, but they still need to be corrected. And we do too if we're teaching something false. But I also believe there are people out there in this world who are influenced by the evils of the devil, the influence he's had on this world, and I believe firmly that they have malice in their hearts when they speak things against God's word. I think they have the intent to tear down, to destroy the church and the believers that are in it. But I can tell you, they're not going to be successful. They won't. They might get a few, and they may win a few battles along the way, but folks, at the end of this, Christ wins, and the truth of God's Word wins, and that's where we need to reside. Going back to these examples in the New Testament about false prophets, Jesus himself says, "Beware," in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Beware of these people who profess or make themselves to appear one way, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, seeking to devour and to destroy. Everything's not always as it seems, is it? And he's telling us about that right there. They appear one way, but they're coming with a different agenda. Beware of them. Acts chapter 20 and verse 29 through 30. Paul, writing here to the elders at Ephesus that he had called together, he says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." He said, not only are those that's going to enter in that would be considered wolves, not sparing the flock, again, trying to devour and destroy, but he said, there's going to be men from your very group who arise and they speak perverse things with the attempt to draw disciples after them. Their own pride wants people following after them instead of them teaching others to follow after Christ and after God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. He says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." The writer here says there were false prophets then, and there's going to be false teachers today. And they perform the same task, to teach falsehood. They bring in these damnable heresies. They deny that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior and the one that bought them, and they bring upon themselves swift destruction. Not only that, they want people to follow them. And a lot of people do. It says they follow their pernicious ways. And we can't afford to allow ourselves to fall prey to those things. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." I think with just these four passages, we can be of a certain that we have to be aware that false prophets are out there, people teaching things that are in contrary to the Word of God. Wouldn't you say? Can't we agree with that? We have warnings here from Jesus. We have a warning from Paul. We have a warning from Peter. We have a warning from John. Evidently, there's a real need to be concerned about this. It's something to be concerned about and have on our minds and be aware of. And you don't warn someone about something that doesn't have a chance to happen. So what do these warnings tell us? Number one, false prophets and false teachers are guaranteed to be in this world. Number two, they are deceitful in how they present themselves in their message. And number three, some of the faithful will be led away from their false teaching. Some people will walk after that false teaching. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be me. We can't afford to do that. We have the responsibility to get in the Word of God, find out what truth really is, and follow after it with all our hearts. But we talked about false prophets. What about this false doctrine? Jesus warned about the false doctrine that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had. These were groups, or we might call them sects, of the Jews, and they had a lot of great influence over the people in worshiping God. The people looked at them and they had a lot of influence in that they would tell everyone, here's how you do this, here's what you need to do, and you need to do this and that. And what happened was over time they were lifted up in their own pride to where they were more concerned about people following after them and them having the honor, so to speak, than they were about people following after the truth. Now in Matthew chapter 15 and verses 7 through 9, here is a passage where Jesus is warning people about it. And he goes to the Old Testament, he makes a quote. He says in Matthew 15 and 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Teaching for doctrine, principles and truths, and those things that we can found our lives on, teaching for those things instead of the true doctrine of the Word of God, they teach the commandments of men. Now, here's what has happened in this case here. If you go back and you read the first six verses, you have a case where a lot of these groups, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they were trying, once again, very unsuccessfully, to pin Jesus in a corner and ask him a question. Because they were always trying to trip him up, you know. And you'd think that after a while, they'd figure out, this ain't working. But they keep on. They had asked him about why his disciples transgressed the Father's commandments and the prophets and things. And Jesus turns it back on them and he says, why do you teach others to transgress? Because he said, what you do is you tell a son that he's not supposed to honor his mother and his father with his substance when they're in need if he says, well, all my stuff's dedicated to God. You're saying that gets him off the hook. That's basically what was going on at that time, and that's what Jesus turned back around on them. They had been giving this approval for a son to withhold that if he would just say this. And by doing that, they were teaching a doctrine of hypocrisy, professing to be one thing and being another. He warned them of the influencing of the doctrine of these two groups. He warned them of how dangerous it was to follow after that. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6, he uses the example of the leaven. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Sounds like a small thing at first, doesn't it? It sounds like it's really close. It sounds kind of similar to what I have read. That's real close. Here's what you need to understand about, we understand how false prophets disguise themselves. They don't announce their presence as, I'm a false prophet and I'd like to lead all of you away into hell. Please follow me. That's not how they do it. And false doctrine is often given in small doses with an effort to influence over time. But it can have a very large and dangerous effect. Consider the term leaven that Jesus Christ used to describe these two and their teaching, their hypocritical doctrine that they delivered. He said, beware of the leaven. Leaven is basically yeast. That's what it is in cooking. He's using this example. And there's a reason he used this example. Because a lot of you who bake and cook a lot, you know this more than I do. It sure don't take a lot of yeast to influence and affect a whole loaf, does it? Just a little bit. But it can have a large effect over the thing that you are cooking and preparing. I remember one time we were preparing a peanut brittle, and you put a little something in there, and all of a sudden it just foams up, and it just gets big and everything. I was fascinated by that. But it was just the least little bit. That's what Jesus is talking about, the doctrine, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, beware, it may look like a little thing, but it has a drastic effect. It has a large effect over the truth and over your life. And false doctrine works in that exact manner. A small bit of untruth can influence an entire group of people. And it can get you way off track. Galatians 5 and verse 7 through 9 says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Go back and read what he was talking about and writing about in the first six verses of Galatians chapter 5. There had been this thing come up again about circumcision. And how it was good that people would obey this act of circumcision and bind that on people. And what he talked about, if you go back and read that, he makes the point, I believe it's in verse 3, where he says, if one takes on any part of the law, they are bound to take the whole law. And he says, this little thing here that sounds good and it wasn't maybe that big of a deal, how did you allow it to affect everyone and in such a big manner? Maybe it sounded like a little bit at first. But it ended up being a big deal. Little changes make large, drastic effects. Ask the people who put satellites into space and send rockets up into the space and send things to the moon. 1 degree here and there ruins a whole mission. And that's what happens with false doctrine. See, they come in, the false prophets, and they'll come in, and they'll tell you something, and we're walking this path, and they just a little bit, and it sounds good, and it's really close to what we got, and I can't really tell that much of a difference. Might not be that bad. And before you know it, I'm walking a little bit, and instead of walking over here, I end up over here. We have to be aware, we have to be on guard, and we have to be very careful about who we associate with, what we listen and pay attention to. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's what had been happening in these two accounts we had read about here. In Jesus speaking to that group he was, and then in Paul writing to the churches in Galatia. Associations matter. What about false doctrine today? Do we need to be alert for it? What is it? Do we need to be alert for it? Absolutely we do. Absolutely. Turn on TV. Wait, don't. Don't turn on the TV. It's all over, isn't it? It's not just there. It's on our devices where we get news. It's driving down the loop. And the big billboard sign, it's everywhere. Things that are contrary to the Word of God. But let's talk about things that might be a false doctrine that you will hear or possibly hear that relates specifically to our eternity and to our having that home in heaven with our Creator. You might hear someone say, you know, well, we're all going to heaven. We're just walking different paths. We're just walking different paths. How do we end up the same spot if we're walking different paths? How's that work? Well, it sure sounds good, though, doesn't it? Because, see, if we can say that, what we can get away from is this idea that someone could be wrong. Maybe it's me that I don't have to worry about. I don't have to deal with even considering the fact that I could be wrong about something. I like that. Until I end up on Judgment Day not where I wanted to be. What did Jesus say? In Matthew 7, verse 13 through 14, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Sounds to me like he's talking about two paths. But they don't lead the same place. He talks about a straight gate and a wide gate. He talks about a broad way and a narrow way. And he talks about how few that will be that find the path to everlasting life. Oh, you'll hear things like people say, well, it doesn't matter. Just worship wherever you want to. Worship how you want to. God just appreciates the fact you're trying. Doesn't matter. Okay. Let's see what the Savior said about that. Matthew 16 and 18. He says, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, I'll build my church. And the church that Jesus Christ died and shed his blood to purchase and establish is the only church there is. It's the only church that is in effect. There's gatherings, there's groups of other things, but as far as the church goes, the called out, the saved, Jesus said, I will build my church. And he's the head of it, and that church is the collective body of the saints and the called out. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One, 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 one. And yet, There's false doctrine out there that says, doesn't matter where you go, just go somewhere. You could even go out and have your own little church on the lake while you're fishing. That's a far stretch, isn't it? Colossians 1 and 18 says, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ bought the church with His blood. He built the church. It's His church, and He will decide how people get into it. And when He laid forth the plan of salvation, that alleviates every other thing. And He adds to those that obey His gospel. He adds to those such as should be saved. But you continue to hear, just worship according to your heart. Let me translate that for you. That says, do what you feel good. Do what makes you feel good. Do what you want. Because, you know, in our society today, your happiness is more important than anything else. Whatever makes you happy, that's what you should do. You know what we should find joy in, true joy in, is being pleasing to the Father. That's what we should find true joy in. And we should set our hearts and our minds on saying, that's where I want to find my happiness and that's where I want to find my joy. I want to honor Him. I want to follow after His way. John 4 and verse 23 through 24 says, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That does not say they that worship Him can figure out however which way they want to. He's just glad you're trying and doing something. It's not what the Scriptures say. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's who He is seeking. And that's who He has offered eternal life to. See, this is the thing. People misunderstand God a lot of times. They think He's this thing up there who can't wait to zap people and can't wait to harm people and do all this stuff. And it's just the opposite. He has laid out eternal life. He has given a perfect plan that's easy to follow. And He is begging and pleading for people to come enjoy freedom from sin, salvation, and enjoy that home in heaven. And He is begging so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross and give His life there to pave that way. Why do we study about these things here? Why study about false doctrines and false prophets? Because the truth of God warns about them, number one. And if it's found in the truth of the Word of God, we need to study about them and we need to be aware. Folks, I want to tell you something. False doctrines aren't just little disagreements. As I said, the example of where Tim and I might have a little disagreement. When it comes down to the salvation of our souls for eternity, and when it comes down to the plan of salvation and what God has done through Jesus Christ, he and I can't afford to have a disagreement. What we need to do is not worry about what each other thinks, and we need to collectively get together and figure out what God thinks and follow after that. These false doctrines that are in this world, if they are believed and if they are followed after, they will lead men astray, and that is guaranteed. The Word of God teaches us that. Jesus warned us about that. Paul warned us about that. That's why it's important to talk about these things. And that's why it is important for you to be a student of the Word and find truth. Your soul depends on it. That's why it's important for me to do that. And to get in the book and study and find those truths that are found in it. I leave the study with you this morning, and I hope that you find our study from God's Word to be truthful. I hope you find it to be truthful according to the Word that God has delivered. I hope it admonishes all of us to keep our focus where it needs to be and to continue walking the pathway of light, following after the truth of the Word of God, because at the end of that path is the glorious home of heaven. It's all going to be worth it. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Maybe you're here this morning, though, and you haven't started your walk with God. Maybe you haven't started that walk, and you look up and you go, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm not going where I need to be. We would love to assist you with that this morning. You know, the power of salvation is found in the gospel. Romans 1:16 talks about that. And the gospel has been delivered so that you can be obedient to it and God can add you to his body, to the saved. And we offer that to you this morning. It's not ours to give, but we would like to help you to accept that offer that God has offered through His Son, Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with something. I do. I got struggles. I got news for you. I got plenty of struggles. But you know you do too. We all do. Let's help each other. If you're facing a battle this morning and you need some strength, we want to pray with you and pray for you. If we can help one from either class, we'd ask you to come, make your request known, and sit on the front pew while we stand and while we sing.